Okay, we're live.
Hello, everyone. It's Norm Farrar, aka the Beard Guy, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, the Rise of the Microbrands. Lunch with Norm. Lunch with Norm. All right. Well, thank you, Kelsey. So, you know, one of the things that drives me crazy, and I usually kind of roll up in the, you know, the fetal position, is when something goes wrong, especially when you're new to something. So I don't know what happened. I wasn't able to log in. Luckily, my son kind of figured it out. I'm an old guy. So thank you, Kelsey. Anyways, oh, there you are. So I just want to say, you know, welcome, and that we're broadcasting live on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. So, Kels, tell everybody what they should do.
So if you're watching this on a replay, you can just skip ahead into the future. But if you're joining us live now, follow us on social media. So we have YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. We are now on Apple Podcasts. So if you like listening to the podcast, please search for Norm Farrar or Lunch with Norm, and you should be able to find it. And we have a brand new website too, lunchwithnorm.com. So all the information from past guests, videos, bios, descriptions, everything will be there. And we are on YouTube. So there's right. A whole range of things you can watch Lunch with Norm on.
Tons of yep. things we can do. All right. So the other thing we should mention too is that we've changed the schedule. It's every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at noon live, Eastern Standard Time. So I think that's it for today's updates. No more that's panicking, right, Kels?
We'll
just go right through this. We should be good.
Nice.
All right,
easy.
Good.
All right. So who is our guest?
Our guest today is an Amazon expert, also SEO expert in a lot of different fields, Stephen Pope. So I had the pleasure of being on his podcast a week ago, and the professionalism and the knowledge blew me away. So we're going to be just talking a little bit more about improving your Amazon business through SEO. So a lot of people have no idea how to do this. So the other thing I want to say is if you have any comments, please throw them in the comment box or questions and we'll get back to you. So sit back, relax, and grab a cup of coffee and enjoy the show. So now, welcome, Stephen.
Hey, Norm. Thanks for having me on.
Geez, so you're a professional podcaster.
I try. I've got.
So you sound know, professional.
Yeah. Your mic is just as sexy as mine, as far as I'm concerned. Rode on mine. What kind you got?
I don't know what this is. What do I got, Kels?
But you even have like the soundproof wall thing going on.
That's, you know, thank God for kids because they did this all for me. They bought my equipment. I don't know what I buy.
I thought you were going to tell me you soundproofed it because you had kids. So.
I did that at one of my last houses. So anyways, we're going to be talking about one of my favorite things is SEO. And I know that we started talking about this the other day and you were talking about a bunch of different things that I just said we got to talk about today. So
I'm excited. SEO is, you know, it's not sexy, but it's very much one of the most complicated things you do to improve sales on Amazon. It's a good topic.
I think it's sexy.
It's sexy for nerds, I guess, but the jocks are like, I'm out.
So why don't we just dig into a little bit of your history? Tell everybody a bit about yourself.
You bet. So I started out my career as a television reporter. I loved being a reporter, but I hated working in the news industry. It was a lot of fun. I get to fly in like stunt airplanes and do cool stuff like that. You know, one night I was in Wisconsin in the middle of a blizzard doing a live weather hit and, you know, missed my cue to go on the air because it was so like the blizzard was just like I couldn't see anything. And everyone else is at home in pajamas at home at 10 o'clock at night. And I was like, what am I doing with my life? So I quit like a week later, went back to school, got an MBA, broke into digital marketing. We all aspire to take control of our own destinies. And that's exactly what I did. Been doing that ever since. It's been lots of fun. The first item I ever sold online was a Magic the Gathering card was called a Sliver Queen, which is from the Stronghold edition of MTG. This is the original Magic, the trading, original trading card game. And, you know, I sold it for $20 as a 12-year-old on eBay. And that's really what sparked my interest in e-commerce over the years. And I've worked for five failed startups as a marketing manager or marketing director in everything from women's plus size clothing to kitchen equipment, even did gold and silver coins. Quite frankly, right now with silver and gold prices going up and down like 10 to 20% every other day, it seems like, I have to say that was probably the easiest product I ever sold. And last thing I'll mention on the background, the biggest SEO project I've ever accomplished. This was really cool. When I was at Apmex.com, that's American Precious Metals Exchange. And for those that are following us along, you can validate what I'm about to say by going to SEMrush.com. You can look it up in Conductor, Searchlight, whatever SEO tool you want to use. I increased Apmex.com by 10 million uniques year over year. And you can see my hire date. It's that obvious the day I was hired versus, you know, the year before. So when I come on to talk about SEO, I have the experience to say, you know, if you invest, it'll pay off, and it could pay off in the millions of dollars.
Okay. So just thinking about SEO, I don't want to throw you in this category at all, and I'm not, but one of the things I found out, throughout 25 years of doing e-commerce is that SEO, there's people that know how to do SEO, but unfortunately, that's the minority of the people. And you get thousands of emails that throw SEO into a horrible, like, used car sales type thing, right? Where you'll get an email talking from, you know, this guy, Steve in India, that's going to do something. It's going to cost, it takes 3 months. You wait the 3 months, and it's your fault for not having the results. And then you have to pay another 3 months. In the meantime, you dump the person and you find another Steve in India, and you know, it's a vicious cycle. So every time I talk about SEO, I want to just clear the air right now, is that SEO does work, but just kind of let everybody know why, you know, all these people, all these failed SEO people, like they reach out. It's almost like Amazon consultants, right? So everybody's an Amazon consultant if their product fails. So all of a sudden, you know, they become an expert. They're, you know, they choose to be a consultant. Now, I'm saying that, I mean, I think that's kind of the majority, but that's the exact same thing as SEO. So you want to just clarify or clear the air on that?
Yeah, I think there is, in this information age, it's very easy to become a guru or an expert, right? I have my own side hustle brand called Momster. It does about $80,000 a month, selling funny wine glasses on Amazon. I do happen to have the number one funny wine glass on Amazon. And so I've also created a 28-person agency. There's no way I would be talking my SEO game at that scale if I didn't actually have proof in the pudding. So what we do actually does work. But for every one person out there that says, you know, maybe let's even use a bigger number. Every 1,000 people out there that say they know SEO, you probably might only get a handful that actually truly understand how to take that data set and move the needle. There's a lot of best practices, and I think the Amazon best practices are a little bit better understood in 2020 than they were even in 2019 or the year before that. But because the algorithm changes, you have to keep up on all of the changes and what works and what doesn't. You'll have conflicting information out of Amazon themselves, which makes it even harder, right? And so whenever you invest in SEO, it very much is invest today for potential future payout. Whereas if you do pay-per-click, you're going to know within 7 days if the guy you hired is heading in the right direction. If you hire the SEO guy, it really will be 90 days before you know, minimum. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you're looking for a way to measure SEO, I would say look at the number of keywords that are indexing and look at the keyword ranks of those keywords. Those are two metrics that are leading indicators. So what do I mean by that? I mean that as the data shifts, you're going to see those early. the number of keywords indexing especially. Whereas the lagging indicators will be traffic and sales. And so those are the ones that most clients actually care about. Doesn't matter if you rank my keywords, if you don't generate sales, I don't care, right? I don't want to pay you money for that. But if you look at it from both a leading and a lagging indicator, you've got the right KPIs to measure. So that's how I would look at this information. I would test everything that I say. Don't take everything I say for, you know, as 100% solid. It won't work for every single person. It won't work for every category, every product. But generally speaking, the things that we'll talk about today should work for most people and most products.
Okay. And what I'd like to do is talk about what you're doing, and then I want to have some action steps for people who can do it themselves. Okay, because not everybody can go out there and grab an agency. So let's talk about what you can do. How many steps are there, or how many techniques are we able to talk about?
I like to use a three-phase SEO process. So I'll give you the high-level definition of each phase, and then we can go into as much detail as you want into each of these areas. So phase one is your general best practice setup. This is where you make sure all of the core stuff is done. Phase two, we usually do about 30 days later. We call it the pink word update. That's where you take words that are already in your title or bullets and pull them out of the search term field and then replace them with better performing or potential other performing words that aren't duplicated. And phase three, we call the strike zone update, where you take words in ranks 20 through 50 and try and matriculate those to page one in slots 1 through 19. So that's kind of the high level SEO phase plan. Generally speaking, phase one, 30 days, phase two, 30 days, phase three at day 90, and repeat phase three as often as necessary until and quite frankly, never ending. And that way you can continue increasing your SEO. So that's kind of the high level plan.
All right, so let's dig into each one. So what can we do to, you know what? I should never have had a cigar last night because I am coughing. I told you before the podcast, I am coughing like crazy today. So no more cigars today or tomorrow. But anyways, let's talk about how we can break down each one of those three steps.
All right, that sounds good. So phase one, and a lot of the tips we're going to give today are very actionable. You don't necessarily need an agency to execute these, but it's something, you know, with this action plan that we're giving you, how you do it and the level of execution and how you measure it, you know, the more you do it, the better you're going to get at it. So with that in mind, general best practices, I think, are a little bit more known due to great tools like Helium 10. We absolutely use those tools to do keyword research. The following rules, though, should never be broken. Number one, never have commas in your search term field. So you got 250 characters in your search term field. Utilize and maximize those and uniqueify them, if you will. And if you have commas, you're missing out on the permutations of every word in that series. So let's say I'm selling wine glasses, and if I want to have the word glass and the word wine, I only need that in the content one time, and it will permutate or combine with every other word in the series. And so that's why you don't want to have commas. So that's the first cardinal rule of search terms. This is the complete opposite of Google SEO from a decade ago, right? Amazon's rewritten the SEO rules specific for the Amazon marketplace. So rule number two, don't repeat words. So if you've got a keyword that's there one time, so I mentioned wine and glass, don't repeat the word wine a second time at all. Because there's no commas, you don't need to do that, because every time the following 250 characters of SEO are there, it will permutate with that first word of the word wine. So if we had an SEO string in front of us where it said wine glass, funny gifts for her, it would permutate like wine gift for her. That particular part of the explanation is generally not well understood when the best practice is explained, but that's why there's no commas. That's why there's no need for a duplicate word. Okay. The rest of the tips for the best practices aren't necessarily cardinal rules. They're just general best practices. So I like to include misspellings. misspellings in search term field is the best place to put them, because if you put a misspelling on the front end to the consumer, it looks trashy, right? Could hurt your conversion rate. But on the back end, it's a great location to put a misspelling. You also can put in Spanish. So Spanish is a very frequently spoken language in the United States, and not a lot of content focus has been put to that target demographic. That means it's easier to index for Spanish today than it is for English. So take advantage of that. Put in two or three Spanish words in the back end of your search term for your core two or three words. It will pay dividends.
Well, so, one of the things on that Spanish note is we put usually Spanish in our fifth bullet. So just, yeah, same sort of thing. But we just add in the five bullets that you're allowed to put in, we just put one of those in Spanish. Now, just a quick shout out to, so, hey, Malish, thanks for joining. Amir, Alan, hey, Michael, we're going to get to that question. And Avalon, he just had a comment here. He says he doesn't think it's true about the comma. And I've heard both sides of that, too. So I've heard some people say, oh, you know, have a comma, oh, don't have a comma. The other thing that I wanted to, and I didn't want to interrupt, but when you say about the putting the word, not repeating the word. So I've heard so many, it goes back and forth to the guru thing, but I've heard so many different people say, oh, repeat the phrase. Repeat the phrase, repeat the phrase. And, you know, I've heard this in you add it to subject matter, you add it to audiences, you add it to all these other areas. But right in search terms, I've recently heard people talk about repeating the phrase and then a comma. Any thoughts on that?
So I want to make it very clear the best practices we've talked about so far are specific to the search term field. So keyword density, I think, is worth debating on the front end. But on the back end, in the search term field specifically, I think the data has been conclusive here. So we've got 100 active monthly clients with us. We test this all the time. And we do it differently on occasion just to, you know, double check to see what works best. But time after time again, if your goal of the in my opinion, goal of phase one is indexing. It's not matriculation. It's not trying to get to page one, it's indexing. So if your goal is indexing, you want to maximize the number of words that you can focus on. And so because of that, if you use commas, you're taking away character count, first of all, on your search term field. And second of all, the permutation aspect, I think, is weakened based on the data that we've seen.
What about relevancy? So another thing I've heard in the search terms is that the further back you go with the search term word, the less relevant it will be.
So run me through that a little bit more. So when you say when you're talking relevancy, the farther back, you're saying the location of the word?
Correct. The less likely the algorithm will pick it up.
That's no longer true. That was true until about the January update, give or take a couple months. In 2020, but they came to market and changed that entirely. There was a really good article from Celex on this question. It's probably worth linking. And I sent it out to a client the other day. I'll see if I can track that down for you. But basically, this question came about the titling, the actual physical titles. And there was a question of, you know, do I need to front load the keywords? And the answer in 2019 was yes. But in 2020, it's no longer important. So I also believe that can be extrapolated to the search term field, that it's not the where you put it, it's no longer important.
Okay, good to know. All right, so yeah, sorry for interrupting you.
No, you're good. You're good. There's so much to dive into, and it's absolutely worth going a mile deep and an inch wide on this subject for sure. So another thing to look at when you do your best practices. So we kind of gave you some like rules and do's and don'ts. But one of the things that you should also look at is opportunity scores, right? So if you don't get past the do's and don'ts, this next part's irrelevant, right? Like if you're messing up the core stuff, it doesn't matter. You're not indexing as well as you can, but if you get past the do's and don'ts and you're getting to this next level where it's like, okay, now that I know what I can do or can't do, what should I choose? Right? So my favorite way to get a keyword list is to go into Cerebro, copy both the keywords that I rank for currently, if it's an old listing, and if it's a new listing, even if it's not a new listing, but often the case, it's heavily focused on your competition. Go look at the three or four top sellers of an item that you're trying to rank against. Download their Cerebro report out of Helium 10. Port it over to Frankenstein. Remove all the dupe words and hit the process button. It'll also remove the commas, by the way. So if a tool like Helium 10 is removing dupe words and commas, there's a pretty good indication that the number one technical team out there is doing it this way. They're probably doing it that way for a reason. I very much follow a lot of the content from Helium 10, and I think they're a qualified source. Same with Celex. So with that in mind, inside of Frankenstein, you're gonna get a giant list of words. They have already ranked them from most important to least important. So you could take that list, and maybe that character string starts out at a couple thousand characters long. You can shorten it down and start removing words that are less relevant to your product, or maybe you don't want a competitor brand name in your search terms. Maybe you do. I don't know. Depends on your targeting. And then you can limit that down to that 250 character count. So that's a good way to do it, to find relevancy. You could go word by word and say, hey, this one has 1,000 impressions versus this one has 5, and I'm going to go with the one that has 1,000. But generally speaking, the tool does a lot of those extrapolations for you automatically. It's quite nice. So that's how I would start phase one of your SEO, is apply all the best practices and make sure that you're focused on a good target demographic of your keywords.
All right. So then moving on to the second phase of this. So you've talked about phase one. You've talked about phase two. And then what about phase three?
So that's all the lengthy explanations, all phase one.
Oh, all right.
So,
all right.
So okay. After you've got all this implemented, let's say it's a brand new listing and you're just starting out your indexing. So you could track your indexing and say, hey, I'm at zero indexing today. I implement my best practices. I get some sales in the door. Okay. By week one or two, I'm at 150 keywords indexed. By day 30, it could be 1,000 if done correctly. So at that point, once you've got around 1,000 index keywords or around day 30, there's a little bit of wiggle room on this. You then want to enter into phase two. Now, our goal of SEO is to increase sales to the listing in a way that we don't have to pay for long term. It's earned media. So all of the techniques that we're talking about today, your number one goal is to earn traffic. So phase one is all about indexing, trying to earn as much eyeballs as you possibly can from an impression standpoint. If you index for a word, but you never convert on it, you're never going to be on page one. So phase two, you're going to start what I like to call the pink word update. Now, this did just change in the last 7 days. This is late breaking news, but they did remove the brand dashboard tool that showed the pink words. So instead of using the brand dashboard for phase two, we now have to eyeball it manually. But basically, the goal of phase two is to go in and look at your search term field again and cut any word that's currently in your title or your bullet points. According to Amazon and the algorithm that they have demonstrated or released and what they're public on, they state that any word that's in your title or bullets no longer needs to be in your search term field. The reason we still include it in phase one is because after rigorous testing, we have found that for the best indexing, you should do it at the start of a listing or at the start of the best practices. However, after it's matriculated and it's had a chance to marinate, you can then take out some of those words to gain additional value words. So that's what phase two is about. It's about swapping out somewhere around 20 to 50% of your keywords can be swapped out if they're in your titles and your bullets. So you're then going to go look at your original keyword list and take the sloppy seconds that you didn't go with in phase one and go ahead and add them in during phase two. If you make no other changes to your listing, your title, your PPC, your A+ content, and you just do phase one and two for your search term field, I pretty much guarantee you're going to see indexing go up. That's how important the search term field is. So phase two is all about removing words that are present on your title and bullets and putting in new words, and then kind of running through phase one again with that in mind.
So just keeping your title the same for 6 months, a year, no longer works. One of the things that we used to do and this goes back over the last 3 or 4 years, is if it's not broken, don't fix it. You know,
that's increasingly true in 2020.
It's still there.
Well, I want to parse your comments. So I feel very strongly that risk is greater in 2020 than it's ever been. Mm-hmm. So if you sell supplements, for example, your A+ content should have very few words or copy in it, because Amazon swoops in, oh, you got the word anti, oh, you got the word inflammatory, or you make a medical claim or even a perception of a medical claim, they'll just yank the listing.
Right.
So if it's not broken, don't fix it is very much something to consider, not live by, but consider in 2020 with your front end detail page changes. The certain categories this applies more to than others. So like if you're in home goods, change anything all day long. I really don't see any pushback from Amazon on anything related to home goods. But if you sell anything consumable or topical, you should be more risk prone. I met with a guy yesterday out of St. George, Utah, sells a hemp cream. He got gated for PPE. And for those that don't know what that is, it's basically safety gating related to the COVID 1.0 round in April and May. That makes no sense, right? Of course, a lot of things on Amazon no longer make sense. And that's because Amazon's entering the maturity phase as a platform. And so they're putting higher and higher barriers. So because those barriers go up, your sophistication level also must go up, and your ability to dodge and navigate that system has to increase. Otherwise, you're going to hit a pitfall and see some sales get damaged. But with that in mind, should you experiment? Should you test? Absolutely. That's a core thing in marketing. But the difference in testing in 2020 and 2019 is you're better off testing back-end stuff than you are front-end stuff, in my opinion. It's much safer. So everything we talked about so far, except the latest comment, all about search term field. You could spend significant portions of your time just working the search term field and getting appropriate results from it. Now, if you do pair that with your title and your bullets and your A+ content, and we can talk about some of those things shortly, you will get additional gains.
Are you strictly using Helium 10 Cerebral to gather your information?
Predominantly. I mean, there's a few other like secondary apps that you can, use some word puzzles, if you will, to kind of plug and play things, but predominantly Helium 10. It's a full package tool, in my opinion.
Right. Have you ever tried, have you looked at seller tools? Like I use Helium 10, but one of the things I like using is seller tools for the converting keywords. So search volume, a lot of people, like our clients, they'll come back and even question why we're kind of promoting a certain keyword phrase. And we're finding that, oh, okay, you might have 2000 search volume on this keyword, it's not converting, 500 on this keyword phrase, and it's converting 50 a day. So we try to explain that to people, but a lot of people just don't get it. You can have higher search volume, but you can convert on a much lower search volume.
SEO debate is probably much more difficult than any other technical topic on Amazon. Because with Amazon PPC, you can show them the data and it's like clear as night and day. But in SEO, it's, you got to take like this long path of explanation and best practices and algorithm updates and competing theory. Like just even in our lunch today, we've had people contradict or say other things in the chat. That is completely normal. And so client perception or understanding of these topics is not pristine by any stretch. I would agree with your sentiment that it's better to chase words that convert. And especially if we were to rank the fields where you can edit SEO, the search term field is the golden sire, as well as the title field. Those two fields are the most important. Spend most of your time getting those perfected. Bullet points, A+ content. And by the way, Amazon claims that they don't index the A+ content. I believe they do based on the data that we've seen. We put Spanish behind one photo's alt text. So that's the keywords, 100 characters of keywords per photo. And we've seen indexing for Spanish. So I'm pretty confident that A+ content still indexes despite the public, clarity that Amazon's tried to give to this topic. And this is pretty true for SEO as a technology or as a vertical over the last two decades. We've seen Google come in and do the furry animal updates. You know, you could go panda, penguin, whatever. And they will say that, hey, this is no longer the best practice, do XYZ. But for years following those updates, the previous best practices still work. They may not work as well, but they still work. So the conflicting data conversation is very common in SEO. And wherever you go, you're going to have those conversations.
All right. So what about phase three?
All right. So phase three is the most complicated one to execute, and it's called the strike zone update. All of these phases that we've talked about, are ideas that my Amazon guy has come up with. We do have all three of these phases documented in a Flowster, which is basically a fancy SOP step-by-step. I'll be able to send a link to that where you guys can all publicly access this and you guys can trace everything that we're talking about. We're very open with our trade secrets and we are happy to have these conversations. So phase three is the hardest one to do. And the reason it's so hard is because of the choice involved in it. So it's not so franchised where you can just execute it. It's okay. Again, I have to really put your thinking cap on for this one, but basically you go in and you look at your current keyword rankings for a listing between ranks 20 through 50. And those ranks are what are in the strike zone. So they're not producing a whole lot for you currently, but they very much could if you gave them some attention and focus. So you find anywhere from 5 to 10 keywords that are currently in rank 20 through 50 and put them in wherever possible. Make sure they're in the search term field. Make sure they're in the title, the bullets, the A+ content, the copy, the alt text, and really hammer them in all locations. So phase three conflicts with phase two, right? So I said in phase two, don't include words in your title and in your search term field. Well, phase three, you throw that out the door and you focus in on that keyword, that search term that you really want to rank on, and you double down on it. And by putting it in all these locations, you're sending signals to the algorithm that you're about that keyword. These keywords need to be words you do convert on. And if done correctly, you should see the keyword matriculate and increase in its ranking. So let's say you had a word at rank 44, you run this exercise 30 days later, it should be at a higher rank. And by higher rank, I mean top 20.
So if we're an Amazon seller, we've been doing it for years, our keyword ranking sucks. If we followed those three steps, can we bring it back to life?
The longer a listing has existed on Amazon, the harder it is to move it. Sometimes you may want to throw the baby out with the bathwater and redo mm-hmm. the listing. The first 2 weeks of a listing, there's a honeymoon period where any conversions that you have will absolutely leapfrog all of the competition. So if you come in and, you know, you got an old listing that's been doing 100 units a month, and all of a sudden you put a lot of attention and detail and it goes to 150 a month, you won't necessarily see the indexing move a whole lot, surprisingly. You will, but not comparatively if you just went to market with a new product and all of a sudden you come out of the gate with 500 sales in the first 2 weeks, your keyword rankings will probably be superior on the new listing versus the old dud. Now, if you're taking a good listing and trying to make it excellent, that's a different question. You already do have some good keywords and you put in the SEO implementation, you should see some immediate gains from that, very quick gains, in fact.
All right. And just going back to what you were just talking about, throwing out the bathwater. There's a lot of times that people might have a few reviews on their listing. So let's just say 100, 200 reviews, not a lot. Would you still tell them to go and get rid of it and relist?
This is a tough conversation. It's probably a case by case answer. But I would make a data decision. And I also like to use this phrase called a business decision. So any of my clients that are watching are probably going to start chuckling, because anytime you're given an opportunity to choose between two options and both has an advantage and a disadvantage, you're measuring net benefits, right? So in this instance, do you want to throw away what you've gained, and can you do better and take risk on a new listing? Sometimes maybe what the correct choice might be option three, where you keep both and you just try and make the new product look like a new listing. Now, mind you, that's definitely not a white hack tactic. Amazon doesn't want you to create duplicate listings, but every business has its own objectives. And so I generally will lay out, lay out the options, let the person who owns the product or the client make the choice that's right for their business objective, right? So we heavily focus on growth. We're a growth agency, but some clients like profit. And so if you're a profit focused company, taking risks is generally not on the radar. So you may want to just keep the old listing and just make modest improvements. So instead of going for 10x gains, you're going for 2x gains. So it just really depends on what your objectives are. And often the case, though, a new listing will have a better opportunity than trying to compete with an old dud listing.
Here's one of the things we were talking about during our last podcast. It was listing optimization. And we kind of threw out the idea of, okay, you've got a listing that might not be working. Let's relist it. But do it in a way that you might be able to increase the value. So you might have a bar. I think what I used was a bar of Dead Sea Mud soap. Okay, just the average Dead Sea Mud soap in a nice package. Then you can either relist in a much better premium package. And you know what? My dog just came in and he's going to knock the lights over. I know it. So if you see the lights go over and all hell breaks loose and the gnome goes over, it's because of my dog. But totally. And that's when you do see me in the fetal position. But anyways, what, and this is a real example, is we were able to change. We put it into a much nicer packaging. We were able to relaunch it. And then we did it again, but we made it for mudders. These are people that love getting covered in mud, obstacle courses, crazy people. But we made it specifically for them and charged, you know, a lot more. So not only did we relaunch, use the keywords, get better results, but we also increased our profit. So I love your idea about the relaunch.
I just messaged Kelsey to post the Celex article that talks about the title issue we mentioned a few minutes ago. So that link is up just for the viewer's sake.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, okay. I also have my account director, Dustin's working on trying to get us some Flowster links. We'll funnel those in next.
All right. One of the other questions I have about SEO. Okay, so short title, long title.
This is a really interesting conversation. So in June of 2019, Amazon came out and said, hey, everybody go down to 50 characters. And it freaked out the community, right? And so whenever something like this happens, I always tell everybody, be reactionary. Don't be proactive on changes of best practices. Let Amazon force you to make a change that may not be a good change for you. Don't make the change before they force you. That's my general rule of thumb when it comes to something like the scare tactics of Amazon. So there may be exceptions to my statement here. For example, IPI score. If you're below 500 right now, you're feeling the pains of not being proactive on your own shipping controls. But when it comes to SEO, I think this rule probably rings pretty true. I'm in favor of long titles currently. But as I've seen the data come in, as I've seen Amazon truncate titles more and more, there are some categories where they are now fist in glove forcing you to shorten your title. So the question of good or bad on long or short will become less relevant. It's more of what Amazon as a platform is going to force. As another example of this, today, for the first time, I've never seen this before, Amazon was forcing us to change the bullet points of a listing that got yanked because we used capital letters in the bullet points. Now, this is really weird because for years, the community has put all cap phrases at the beginning of bullet points. Now, until I see this happen three or four more times, I'm probably not going to go and run and tell everybody to go update your bullet points and don't use caps, right? But this is the beginning, first time we've ever seen something. And so we mark that down in our history novel or journal. And we say, hey, this has happened one time. If this happens a few more times, we might have to change bullets for everybody, right? So the same case can come with titles. If you're in supplements, get your titles down to shorter. I already see that one being forced. Most categories, though, are still allowing for long titles. If I was in your shoes, I would go with long titles. I think SEO trumps conversion rates. That topic is a very heated topic, but if you really think about it, here's where I hang my hat on this bright line. It's easier to double your traffic than it is to double your conversion rate. Pretty hard to argue with that statement. And that's because it's really easy to go get traffic. So with that in mind, if you tweak your title and try and improve your conversion rate 1 or 2 points, cool. But you miss out on maybe 25 or 50% of traffic if you go too short. So that's really where I hang my hat. I think long titles are superior, even at the cost of conversion point loss.
So we're running a little long. Do you have a bit more time to spend with us?
I do.
Okay, perfect. And on that note too, hey, I just wanted to give a shout out to Lisa in Norcross, Georgia. Thank you for joining.
She's local to me. I'm probably less than a 10-minute jog away from Norcross.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I'm in
Brooklyn. Do you know her?
Nope, doesn't ring a bell.
What a coincidence.
But yeah, I'm in Berkeley Lake, which is literally next door to Norcross.
Okay, so let's go back to Michael's question about, let's see, where is it? Kelsey, where's that question? Can you read it out?
What do you feel most people get wrong about Amazon SEO?
I think we may have answered this question in several ways, right? In our cast today, but the question is what's the goal of SEO? So maybe the fundamental question of like, what's the purpose of it? So people, I think for the most part, do understand that if you do good SEO, you're rewarded in the form of additional traffic and eyeballs to your listings. But how do you rank SEO's objectives against your other ones? And I gave you a good bright line just moments ago where I said SEO should trump conversion. So I think people misunderstand the value of SEO and how to measure its value against other opportunities. So SEO is a long-term investment. It is not a short-term gain. So if you're looking for pleasing the organization, pleasing the boss or the shareholders, so to speak, SEO is a really hard sell. PPC is a really easy sell. But if you're the owner of your own company and you have the ability to think long-term and you're building to hold your organization, SEO should be a top priority or objective. So other than that, you know, a couple of the things that we've already seen debated in the chat, commas versus no commas, length, repeating words, those are all things that can be argued one way or another. I have expressed my opinions on those though.
Okay. So when does somebody, you're trying to manage your SEO, you have a product or two. When should somebody start to look at maybe having a managed service come in and take a look at it for them?
This is a cost-benefit analysis question. I think that SEO services are rather cheap in comparison. So if you hire a PPC agency, they have to be continuously monitoring almost on a daily basis. SEO work is a lot more affordable, but is a long-term payout. So it really depends. So the larger of a company you get, the more likely it's going to make sense to involve an expert. So you know, if I had to throw a random figure out there, I'd say $10,000 a month in revenue. So most people are above that $10,000 a month in revenue. But until you're at that mark, a simple 1-hour coaching call could get you these best practices or watching this show, and you could go implement them. And even if you only implemented 50% of what we said, you're going to make enough improvements to get from that $10,000 mark to $20,000 mark pretty easily.
So I found a lot of people, rather not do it themselves.
And that's part of that cost benefit analysis, right? So what's the fastest way to grow your sales? Source more products, right? And so if you're a business owner, you have a choice. You could spend 2 hours going and sourcing more products or spend 10 hours trying to learn SEO. Which is more beneficial to your business? Would it be more beneficial to hire an agency, pay a few $100, get your SEO implemented? Probably.
So going out and trying to find that right agency, what are 3 or 4 questions somebody can ask to make sure that they're getting the right agency?
Ask them this question: what's your SEO plan? They will not have a 3-phase SEO plan on public record, most likely. So that's why I'm so confident on that question. we have a three-phase SEO plan. And so if you ask them what their SEO plan is, they might say something like, we just put best practices in place and we try and index keywords. That's not a sufficient answer. You need to grill them and say, okay, what do you do on day one, day 30, day 90? How do you measure it? What are the KPIs? Can I see a before and after of your delivery with explanation? We provide all of that for core service. And so a lot of times people will just say, hey, we'll take care of your SEO, and then it's a black box, right? Agencies are afraid to share their trade secrets. They think that if they share their trade secrets, like I have done, like in the chat right now, you can see the full SEO piece, so easy an idiot can do it, so easy a caveman can do it. You can go out right now and replicate what we just talked about today. We give our trade secrets away. Most agencies don't do that because they're afraid you're going to take it, run, and never pay them money. But I believe very much in the Gary Vee concept that if I give you value, at some point, you're going to give me value back. I'm a big believer. It may not be in 2020. Maybe it might be in 3 years, but that's okay. I'm building my agency to hold. I will be here forever. And at some point, that value will return.
All right. So we're winding down to basically the last question, but if anybody does have any questions for Stephen, just post them in the comment box. So last question for you, Stephen, is, are there any quick tips that you can give people that we haven't already discussed?
Yeah, I think the A+ content tip where you go put 100 characters behind each photo is probably the most missed one. And that's a great opportunity to go in and do that on every photo. Because how many photos do you have in your A+ content? Might have 20.
So just go back and explain that a bit. We do this, but most people don't realize that you can rename your images while you put them up, like put the keywords in front of them. So please talk a bit more about that.
Yeah, so Amazon a couple of months ago made an update to A+ content where you no longer have to reload the image to set the alt tag. You can now just set the alt tag and not reload the image. So a lot of times when people hire somebody to build their A+ content, they're looking for a design, right? That's only half of the question. The other half of the question is the technical implementation of said design. And so we do A+ content all the time. And the fundamental thing that designers don't understand is alt text. They also don't put enough copy in the A+ content in general. So those are the two things you really have to look for when you build your A+ content. Copy is good. It's crawlable. Don't put the copy in the image. Put the copy so it can be like crawled by the bots. But if you have a heavy image A+ content, lots of different modules you've been using. Product Grid is my favorite module, by the way. I think that one's a huge AOV improver. Where you can compare and contrast your good, better, best models, your colors, your size options, or supplementary products. But long story short, each one of those photos, you just go to your A+ content editor, hit edit, go to the photo and just hit edit on it. And you can put in the A+ content alt text string, 100 characters per photo. That is a great place to put multiple iterations of the same keywords across photos to get the keyword stuffing or keyword density, as the political correct term might be.
What about, so let's forget A+. Let's go back to your primary image and to your slide deck. Do you put your ASIN as your primary image when you upload your images?
Run me through that a little bit more. Help me understand it.
So one of the things that we started doing, we were talking to somebody at Amazon and they told us to do this, is to put your ASIN as the JPEG name for your primary image.
There might have been a Vendor Central tip, because Vendor Central requires you to load the photos like that, or at least it did 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And you would load it with like ASIN _1_2_3. So I don't know how to qualify whether that makes an impact on SEO or something like that. I'm not sure, to be honest. Okay, but I do know that Vendor Central required you to do that to load photos back in the day.
Yeah. So this was coming from our rep talking about putting the ASIN in and then putting an ASIN with the keyword. So we started to do that. We put the ASIN and a keyword phrase in naming the JPEG as we uploaded the slides. And the other thing we heard, and I've heard nothing about it since, is that for the infographics, that Amazon was going to start to monitor those as well. That they were going to pick off the anything that had copy on them. But when I read the style guide, everything's cool with that. No, there's no problem with it. And maybe they changed their policy, but this was last year. I heard that they were going to be coming out and monitoring that. Have you heard anything about it? Because if I look at the style guide, putting copy on your, not a book, but copy on your infographics is fine.
There's no way we'll see a crackdown on this one. I'm pretty confident. I'll put my head out there and prophesy that we're not going to see a crackdown on secondary images. But main images, yes. Mm-hmm. Main image suppression has been really, really topical. And so if you're violating any of the main image best practices, I guarantee it's a question of if, or of when, not if, they're going to crack down on suppressing your listing. And they won't notify you when they do it. They'll just suppress it. So you'll see sales go off. You'll stop indexing. You'll stop seeing PPC because suppressions are really, really, really damaging. Now to address your SEO implication of the actual main image photos, I don't think there's any proof one way or another to answer your question. I don't think there's any data out there. But what I would say is that historically speaking, titles of images and alt text, like we talked about, do have SEO implications. So you could be onto something with this, because naming your titles of your images on Google will allow them to better show up in Google image search.
Right.
And so I think it's logical to extrapolate that, yes, that has an SEO implication. How that implication ties into the top 50 things you can do in SEO, probably towards the bottom if I had to guess, but probably does have an impact.
Okay. So, Kelsey, there's one other question, isn't there?
Yeah, we got a couple comments here. Richard is saying, great interview, gentlemen. Missed some. I'll go back and listen to the rest. So, yep, thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
Thanks, Richard.
Annette says, hello, Norm.
Oh, hey, Annette. Do you remember the last event we attended together?
And our question, for EBC A+ content, you have to brand register. How can I upload without it?
You do have to brand register, unfortunately. So if you don't have a trademark today, it takes 6 months to get a trademark, or you can pay extra and use the IP accelerator. And I can't tell you how valuable having A+ content is. I mean, it will be night and day on both conversion rate and traffic improvements from SEO. Very much worth the investment. $750 to go buy a trademark. I would do it in a heartbeat. 6 months though on the waiting list.
Yeah, there is a trick to that. You can go through the accelerator process, which is no problem. However, and I think it's Trademark Angel. There's three different sites, but Trademark Angel is the one that I believe we used to get a German trademark. So if you get a German trademark, it takes 2 to 3 weeks, and Amazon accepts it for brand registry. So if you're in a hurry, you can just get it and then you can apply and, go through the normal process.
Yeah, that's really smart. And the more sophisticated and the larger you get, once you hit that 1 mil mark, registering your trademarks in other countries should be on your list.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And especially if you're getting product out of China. So that's a whole other story.
Intellectual property. Yeah. It's Norm. I think you'd beat me on any China information. So I'll defer to you and your expertise on sourcing. Norm, you did just such a fantastic job. We posted a podcast with Norm last week on the My Amazon Guy podcast about the 7 secrets of sourcing. Phenomenal information. I had great feedback. Thanks for coming on doing that.
Well, you're welcome. And thanks for coming on this one. So I think that's it, Stephen. So I guess the last question is, how do people contact you?
Yeah, if anybody's interested in asking us questions or following us, youtube.com/myamazonguy. We have over 400 videos answering any question on Amazon, whatever it might be. Or you can go to myamazonguy.com and contact us. We're very much happy to support the community, add back wherever we can. And as one example to that, you know, if you run into an Amazon problem like pesticides gating, the most ridiculous Amazon problem I've ever run into, we actually post the answer key to pesticides gating right on YouTube and our website because we think it's so ridiculous that Amazon has this showing up on accounts because they use the word anti, other things like that. So we constantly are sharing content that will help the community overcome these bricks, these hurdles, these walls that Amazon throws at you. So hope you subscribe to us on My Amazon Guide.
Fantastic. So I hope everybody enjoyed today's podcast. I know we had a bit of a glitch at the beginning. Got through that one okay. First crisis since we started the podcast. So that's kind of cool.
There's always something to solve. So.
Oh, man. Jeez. And you don't know me.
Passive income, Norm. Come on.
Stephen, you don't know. I am absolutely terrified to speak in public and to do this sort of stuff. This is out of my comfort zone. So I get the slightest glitch, all of a sudden my face turns red, I start sweating, but we got past it, so I'm okay.
You did great. You're super authentic, Norm, and the fact you'd even admit that publicly is why people like you. I think you're a likable guy. Thank you.
Hey, no problem. Okay, so Kelsey, what are people supposed to do?
Before you guys leave this podcast, please like and share. It does so much for this, getting eyes on the podcast. So if you're on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, just hit the likes buttons. And we're also all over social media. So Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, please follow us there. And we are on Apple Podcasts and pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. We have a weekly newsletter that's out.
That
doesn't suck. And we have a new website, lunchwithnorm.com. So we have videos, podcasts, descriptions, bios, everything there. I think that's it.
All right. And just a thank you to everybody listening. And Marina, thank you. Alan, thank you. Nathan, thank you. And what is there a question there from Nathan?
It says, thank you for the info. Does he use PPC to determine keywords if too late to ask items on?
Answer that. How about Steven?
There we go. So PPC data is absolutely indicative of converting words that are beneficial to SEO, without a doubt. And so generally speaking, the SEO best practices will catch that before PPC gives that data. But on occasion, you might see a PPC word show up you didn't think about for SEO, and you absolutely should focus on it.
Perfect. All right, everybody, tune in on Friday when we have a really special guest joining us from Australia, Liz Cassidy, and she's going to be talking about something very specific, selling in Australia. So if you've ever thought about it, join us, and also check out our Facebook, our Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy, for any other upcoming events. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your day, and I hope you enjoy the podcast.
Lunch with Norm. Lunch with Norm. Lunch with Norm.